But I know deep in my heart we are never far apart. While I have a memory of your smiling face, goodbye, my friend, and thank you, thank you, thank you. Your kindness guides me ever as I go on my way.
Grump sniffed, wiping away huge rolling tears as they pressed into the leafy fastness.
Fair breaks my heart. You reckon she heard his song, Palum?
Martin pointed swiftly to a patch of rustling ferns. They caught a glimpse of flowered apron disappearing.
Don't fret, Grum. She heard Rose's song. Look!
Four slices of plum and damson cake, spread thick with meadow cream, affixed to the drooping branch of a hawthorn, hung bobbing in their path like strange fruit. Grum picked one. Sitting down on the ground, he began eating, smiling through the tears that coursed openly down his homely face.
My heart, but she'm a wonderful creature. I'd be fair proud to be a child of that there molar.
Book 2. Actors and Searchers.
Chapter 16.
Evening shadows lengthened as the hot day drew to a close. The shore lay warm and dusty beneath the last rays of daylight. Fortress Marshank's gates were thrown open wide. Torches and sea-coal fires illuminated the courtyard as the corsair crew mingled with the Tardan's horde. An alfresco supper had been laid for the two leaders and their aides. A temporary jollity prevailed in the light of the promised entertainment, though Badrang and Clog still regarded each other suspiciously. The tyrant stoat nibbled a leg of roast gull, sipping daintily from a beaker of greengage cordial as he smiled patronisingly at the corsair captain. Sam and Clog sniffed at a pickled mackerel, but a defiant grimace he dunked it thoroughly in Badrang's cordial bowl and wolfed it down in one mouthful. Choking and coughing, he grabbed a half-empty puncheon of kelp beer, tilting it to his mouth and drinking deeply as it splashed widespread down his braids onto the tabletop. With a loud belch and a villainous grin, he slammed the puncheon back on the table.
Ha! That's better. Oh, look it! Here comes me mate Tibber and his pals.
Badrang eyed the approaching troop scathingly.
So this is the entertainment we've been waiting for.
Clog half drew his cutlass, thrusting his face close to Badrang.
Aye, so it is. And they're friends of me good mate Tibber, so don't you forget it.
Badrang turned his head, avoiding Clog's fish-laden breath. He had dropped his corsair accent now that he held the upper paw.
Forget it? How could I? You've done nothing but gabble on about it all day.
Clog was offended by the Tardan's manner. He squinted fiercely at him.
That weren't gabbling, matey. To a warning. Don't mess with those creatures and get any thoughts of sleeve taken out of your head, Badrang. It's double bad luck to any who tries to arm me magic friends, see?
Brome felt himself freeze beneath the huge frog mask that enveloped his head. The sight of Badrang and Marshank caused panic in his mind. Roanoke pushed him gently from behind.
Hurry along now, young froggy. Up to it.
Remembering that he was invisible beneath his disguise gave Brome the confidence he needed. Giving a loud croak, he hop-skipped into the centre of the courtyard and began setting up the scenery from the cart with the other rose-hipped troopers. Feldo was concealed beneath a big comical fox outfit. The tongue wobbled and the eyes rolled every time he moved his head. Beneath the mask, Feldo peered wildly around, seeing each familiar hated face, Badrang, Gurrud, Hisk, but no sign of his father, Barkjohn. Balor was in his element. The show, mixed with the ever-present danger of appearing before enemies, made his heart beat fast with excitement. Dressed in the flowing costume of Tibbar the Magic Rabbit, he cartwheeled boldly up to the leader's table and tweaked Clog's plaited beard.
Clog-o, me old crab carcass! Me jolly old wavedog companion! Top of the evening to you, what?
Sramon laughed uncontrollably, highly amused at his new friend's antics. Balor produced two spoons from Clog's beard and began clacking them rhythmically together by bouncing both spoons off the corsair stoat's fat stomach.
When's a stoat not a stoat when he wears clogs and a velvet coat? When's a stoat an old sea dog when he's whiskery, friskery, attery, biskery, Captain Tramon Clog?
Whoa! Ho ho! Ain't he a caution?
Clog thumped Badrang heartily upon the back. The tyrant managed to put his beaker down before cordial spilled on his polished breastplate. He glared at Clog before turning to Balor.
So you the magic rabbit.
Well, let's see some magic.
Balor took Badrang's beaker and emptied it at a single gulp. Before the tyrant could protest, he refilled the beaker from a nearby flagon and tossed the contents of it into Badrang's face. The tyrant gave a gasp of surprise and threw up his paws, only to find that the beaker showered him not with drink, but with dead leaves. Clog fell off his chair, laughing.
Ha ha! See? I told you! That's me old matey Tibber the Magic Rabbit! Ha 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 ha! Ho 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 ho! Make more magic, Tibber!
Balor bowed elegantly as he leaped down from the table.
Lord Badrang, what do you wish, old chap? A play or more magic?
Badrang refilled his empty beaker, checking to see that it was green gauge cordial and not dead leaves.
Oh, go along with friend Clog here. Make more magic.
Balor extended his paw dramatically.
Bring forth the deadly dagger of death.
Gouchy and Caston came forward, bearing between them a red silk cushion. On it lay a long dagger, which glittered wickedly in the firelight. Roanoke chanted in the background.
From the deepest, darkest dungeons, neath the mountains of the moon, comes the dreadful dagger of death. To bring a creature to sad doom.
Roanoke then came forward, dragging Celandine. The squiddle maid threw a paw to her brow, protesting theatrically.
No, 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 not I, not I. One so young and pretty as me is far too fair to die.
Balor took the dagger. Producing an apple from an astounded sea rat's ear, he sliced it in quarters with the glittering blade, smiling wickedly as he called to the assembled vermin.
See how sharp and murderous is me blade. Who would like to see me kill the maid?
Immediately, there was a silence. Celandine looked so tearfully beautiful, no beast made a sound to condemn her except Badrang.
Run her through, Rebby, and be done with it!
Celandine shrieked and strove to get away as Roanoke held her tightly, helpless before Balor. The hare held the dagger high.
Badrang, your name is feared throughout the land. My lord, I kill this maid at your command.
He struck at Celandine. She screamed. The blade appeared to bury itself full length in the squiddle maid's body, though it had collapsed secretly back into the dagger's handle. Celandine took the handle in both paws as Balor let it go. She looked as though she were trying to pull it out of her, though she was really pressing it in. Balor turned, his face a mask of horror, paws quivering as he held them to his face.
Alas, no more I laugh or sing. I've murdered her, the pretty little thing.
Celandine staggered about, moaning pitifully.
No more I'll see the dawning o'er the trees, nor see the golden sunlight in the sky. The seasons change, the birds, the flowers, the bees. Alack-a-day, poor me who has to die.
Buckler stood close to her, banging on a small drum as he muttered out the side of his mouth.
Come on, miss. Don't ye make a banquet of it. Hurry up and die.
With a final heart-rending sob, Celandine flopped gracefully into Roanoke's paws and died, still clutching the dagger to her. As Roanoke bore the squiddle maid's limp form around, some of the corsairs began muttering.
Same. See, we're a pretty little beast.
Aye, mate. That rabbit might be magic, but he's fair heartless.
Captain Clog took a huge draught of kelp beer.
Ha! Tibber, matey! What do you want a croaker for? The show's spoiled now. You're gonna ruin a good night's entertainment.
Balor twirled his magic rabbit cloak.
There, my good friends, speaks a stoat with a heart of gold. My old companion, Cloggo. Just for you, I'll bring her back to life.
Roanoke laid Celandine on the ground. Balor knelt over her, chanting.
Here lies a young maid who's been killed. With my own paw I thrust the knife. Without a drop of her blood spilled, see, I bring her back to life. Hocus pocus, dumbledum dreary, wackle up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, gorum porum cockalorum. Maid, rise up and come alive.
He took hold of the dagger and made a great show of pulling it out of Celandine, heaving and grunting until at last it stood free and shining as he waved it in the air. The young squiddle maid sat up, rubbed her eyes, and smiled prettily as she stretched.
Where am I? I must have fallen asleep.
There was great cheering and applause for the marvellous trick. Balor swiftly collapsed the dagger back into its handle, stowed it beneath his cloak, and brought forth an identical one. This, however, was no trick dagger. The Hare stuck it in the tabletop between Clog and Badrang for their inspection. Trammon tested the weapon, slamming its point down hard into the table several times.
Tibber, matey, you're the magicest rabbit I ever clapped eyes on.
Badrang never bothered testing the knife. He sat back, chin on paw.
Very good, rabbit. Can you do any more tricks?
Balor pointed at Feldo in his ridiculous outfit.
More tricks, you say? Attend me here. My magic is no trick. Yon fox, I'll make him disappear with a wave of my magic stick.
Roanoke whispered in Feldo's ear.
Now is the chance to free your father. Try to remember what you were told. You won't get a second opportunity. Good luck.
The badger donned the massive black cloak as Buckler and Trefoil unloaded a box from the cart. Balor clapped Feldo on the shoulder, haranguing him loudly as the stage was set.
Now then, young fella, you cunning fox, how do you like to disappear? Just place yourself inside yon box, and like a flash, you're out of here.
Feldo backed off, his head flopping comically as he pleaded.
What? Vanish me, Sir Tibbar, no. To what strange place would I then go? Under the sea, or maybe up there, to regions of the nether air? I pray you, sir, please let me be. Magic Tibbar, don't vanish me.
Balor turned to the crowd. They were laughing at the comical fox's plight. Assisted by the rest of the company, he got a chant going that was soon picked up by every beast.
Where's the best place for the fox? Locked up tight inside the box.
The entire company leaped upon Feldo and dragged him yelling to the box. There was utter confusion as they thrust him in, and he sprang out again. In, out he went, with the delighted hordes of vermin leaping about, chanting louder and louder.
Where's the best place for a fox? Locked up tight inside the box. Where's the best place for a fox? Locked up tight inside the box.
Balor ran to the fire, shouting madly.
In, get him in, I say.
He extended both paws to the fire. Whoosh! A great smoky gouting column of flame lit up the night, red, green, and brightest blue. There was a yell of alarm as creatures fell back, rubbing at their eyes in the blinding light. Feldo concealed himself beneath Roanoke's huge black cloak. She moved swiftly away to the edge of the firelight and shook the brave squirrel free from the enveloping garment. Feldo rolled deep into the shadows, flattening himself against the wall as he made his way to the slave compound. Buckler beat furiously on his small drum, secretly kicking away at the box so that it moved and shook. Trefoil stood at his side, her lips scarcely moving, as she called out in loud imploring tone.
Oh, pity gentle creatures, lackaday! Don't leave a poor fox here or locked away!
Clog nudged Badrang roughly.
Ho, that settled the fox's ash. Tibber's got him stowed tight in that there box.